And turn with me once again tonight to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, and this is really part two of a sermon mini-series on the topic of zeal. We began this morning, and again, we want to turn our attention to God's Word here in Romans chapter 12, verse 11, and consider the zeal that we are called to have as Christians. So Romans chapter 12, verse 11, and I'm going to begin reading at the beginning of the chapter, and I'll read down through verse 13 tonight. But again, we'll hone in on verse 11. So please hear now the word of God. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Let's stop and ask for God's blessing together this evening. Father in heaven, as we turn once again to your word, we pray that you would give us, as the psalmist, zeal for your word. Lord, even if we're tired or distracted tonight, I pray that you would help us to focus and hear. I pray that you would enable us to receive your word with faith and lay it up in our hearts and practice it in our lives to your glory. And Lord, we need your help in order to do this. And so give us your Holy Spirit and enlighten our eyes by your word. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. This morning we saw that this means we are to not cool in our love for the Lord. We are to not drift and become lazy. The Lord does not want us coasting in our Christian life. And that's a great temptation and it's a great danger. We also saw this morning that false zeal is also a danger. Zeal without knowledge, surface zeal, fake zeal just for the praise of men. We were warned about distancing ourselves from God, and that would cause slothfulness and zeal. We were warned about distancing ourselves from his people. Unconfessed, unrepentant sin. Misplaced zeal for this world. Bodily stress and exhaustion, all of which can cause slothfulness and zeal. And we began to see that true zeal means being fervent in spirit. Literally boiling and burning with an energy, a passion, and a drive for the Lord. And tonight we want to continue to think about biblical Christian zeal together. J.C. Ryle once wrote, "Zeal is a subject no reader of the Bible has any right to pass over. If we make the Bible our rule of faith and practice, we cannot turn away from it. We must look it in the face." He goes on to define zeal as a burning desire to please God, to do His will, and to advance His glory in the world in every possible way. Zeal is a burning desire to please God, to do His will, and to advance His glory in the world in every possible way. And friends, this is the burning desire that you and I and that the church needs today. And this is why we need to, once again, be attentive to what God says to us. We need to give attention to what God says to each one of you, which is, again, tonight, the words of the text itself. Brothers and sisters, do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Well, tonight I want to look at just five brief points to help us understand zeal a little bit better. Where is zeal found? How do we practice it? How do we grow in it? What's the purpose of it? And so let's first consider together the producer of zeal. And you'll have an outline there that you can look at and follow along. Each of these will start with the letter P. If that helps you remember something, then that's good. But first of all, the producer of zeal. How is this zeal produced? How do we come by it? Where is it found? Well, it should be no surprise that the Bible teaches that the producer of zeal is God Himself. You don't work this up in yourself. You can't produce genuine zeal for the Lord apart from the Lord. Zeal comes from knowing and trusting the God of zeal. In fact, it's produced in you by His zeal, working in you through the gospel. Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, speaks of God's zeal for His people, His zeal for sinners to save them, His zeal in the work of redemption and salvation. And so our zeal comes from what God has done for you and accomplished by His zeal in the gospel. And I think we actually see this if we think about where this text comes in Romans. This call to zeal in Romans 12 comes after Romans 1 and 11. I know that's really obvious. But it comes after Romans 1 through 11 where Paul explains and proclaims the gospel. And it's only here in chapter 12, after all of that, in light of all that, that then Paul calls the Roman Christians and you and I to be zealous as a result of God's zeal for us in the gospel. You can't be zealous without the gospel. The zeal of God to save you, a wretched sinner, to choose you before the foundation of the earth, to set His love on you, to send His Son to die for you, to give you the gift of eternal life when all you had earned was death. Friends, that is what produces new life and zeal and power in you. 2 Peter 1 verse 3 says, His divine power has granted to us all things for life and godliness. His power at work in us through the gospel gives us what we need to live a zealous life. When He saves you by His zeal, friends, He gives you a new heart. He sends you His Holy Spirit to dwell in you. He unites you to Christ. And so you have everything you need. And that's how He works this zeal in you. If you try to manufacture it on your own, if you try to go home and work this up on your own strength, apart from Him, apart from knowledge of Him, apart from faith in the gospel, using gimmicks or self-effort, if you distance yourself from Him or His people, true zeal will not be produced in you. And so go to the source. Go to the source. Titus 2, verse 11 through 14 says that the grace of God and salvation has come in order to make us his people and also to make us zealous for good works. But the gospel precedes that and the gospel produces that. Are you slothful in zeal? As you think about your life tonight, are you lagging in this area? Well, then go to God. Repent of that and go to the Lord. Go again to the gospel. Be fueled by him and by the good news of what he has done for you. At the end of Romans, Paul says this in verse 25 of chapter 16. He says, God is able to strengthen you according to the gospel. Go to the gospel to be strengthened and to be spurred on in your zeal. God is able to strengthen you and work zeal in you by the gospel. Don't look for any other source or producer. Don't look for any other power or fuel for your zeal. Go to him. Once when I was trying to woo my future wife, I thought, and the TFBers will appreciate this, but I thought I would impress her by making soup for her on a cold, windy day on the beach at Lake Erie. And I had my little backpacking stove, and I lit it, and I turned up the flame, but the soup never got hot. It never boiled. There was a flame, but the soup was not getting hot, and I was totally perplexed. I'm not a chemist, but this didn't seem to make sense. So I emptied a whole canister of fuel, and I tried another one, and the soup was lukewarm. And only later did I realize that I had the wrong fuel. This was like the Coleman propane mix or something. I needed the isobutane propane mix, apparently. That's what we used this last week. So the fuel that I had, it actually made a flame. It lit. It looked real, but it wasn't hot. It wasn't hot enough. It wasn't the right fuel, and so it didn't produce the results that I wanted. She was not impressed. But the point is, when you use the wrong fuel in your life, when you use other things as fuel to produce zeal other than God, other than the gospel, you may create some outward flame, but you will not have true zeal. You won't have true warmth and passion. You will not boil with fervor for the Lord. And so we need to get the right fuel, and we need to recognize that God is what produces zeal. And so, brothers and sisters, look to him. Trust him. If you're discouraged about your lack of zeal, in a way, quit looking at yourself and look to the Lord. Look to what he has done for you in the gospel. Be inflamed by his zeal for you in the gospel. The gospel is a life-changing, life-giving, zeal-producing good news. And so believe it and let it fuel your zeal and your service for the Lord. True zeal is rooted in the true gospel. Well, second, in order to live a life of zeal, you also need to look to the Prince of Zeal. And that's what I want us to consider second tonight, the Prince of Zeal. God's zeal in salvation was accomplished by sending his son. We read in Isaiah 9 of God's promise to send salvation through his son. And that concludes saying that the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. And we see the Lord accomplishing this through Jesus Christ and his zeal. We see this zeal in the life of Christ. In fact, we see it right at the beginning of his ministry. And this zeal of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Zeal, to accomplish your salvation is what empowers and motivates and exemplifies the zeal that you're to have. The disciples noticed this zeal early on in the book of John in chapter 2, verse 13 and following. You know the story. Jesus there cleansed the temple. He drove out the money changers. He zealously drove these people out, overturned tables. He showed a zeal, a passion for his father and for his father's house and for his father's worship. And the disciples noticed that. And they understood, they rightly understood Psalm 69, verse 9, to be prophetically speaking about the zeal of Christ. Zeal for your house will consume me. Jesus was consumed with a zeal for the temple, for God's glory, ultimately for you and I, for sinners who would become God's people, the spiritual temple. And this zeal caused him to come to earth, to endure suffering, to withstand every temptation, to bear the weight of your sins, to go to the cross, knowing full well the utter horror and pain and shame and misery and judgment he would taste for us. This is how much he loved you. This is how he burned with passion and zeal for you and to accomplish the will of his Father for your salvation. And that's why I've called him the Prince of Zeal. He is it. He is the real thing. This is the real deal. If you want to know what zeal is and what it looks like, look to him. That's how it's done. That's where it's found. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2 and 3 says, "Run with endurance the race set before us, looking to Jesus, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted." Friends, consider his zeal, his suffering, when you grow weary, when you grow slothful, faint in zeal. And friends, I guarantee you will. This is life. And you may have zeal now, especially some of you TFB participants, but opposition will come. Monday morning will come. Discouragements, sleepless nights, pressures, temptations, doubt. Friends and family will pull you down. Other things will pull you down. There'll be distractions. There'll be sin. And you will drift towards slothfulness. That's why you must keep your eyes fixed on him. That's why you must consider Christ. Look to the most zealous one, the one who never waned in his zeal for you. Think of his sweat and his tears, his drops of blood, his wounds, his bearing your sins on the cross with zeal for you. Think of that when your zeal withers and fails. And if he is your king and your savior, if you love and trust him, that will fuel your zeal. That will guide your zeal. Know the Prince of Zeal, brothers and sisters. Look to him. That leads us then to consider third tonight, the practice of zeal. How is zeal practiced? What does this actually look like in our lives? The practice of zeal. And we need to realize that zeal is not just some mystical inner warmth. It's not an outward personality trait either. It's not just this vague concept we're somehow to seek, but we can't really put our finger on it. Zeal has legs. Zeal acts. Jesus' zeal sent him to earth and sent him to the cross. Zeal works itself out in real life. It has a plan, a pattern. It has a practice. It shows itself in decisive, diligent dedication to the Lord and his ways and his service. Think about if you have zeal for backpacking. When I preached this sermon in Wyoming, I said think about zeal for hunting, but we'll do backpacking for tonight. If you have zeal for backpacking, you collect the equipment. You read the books and the magazines. You shop at the stores. You hang out at REI. You plan your trip. You carve out time. You talk about it. You share stories and pictures. You reflect on it. You practice it. You keep at it year after year. You endure cold and heat, snow, rain, waterbeds in your tent, sleepless nights, exhaustion, shin splints. And you love it. You're dedicated to it. You're zealous about it. And that shows. Or let's use another illustration. What if you have zeal for artwork or painting? If that's the case, you probably study the artwork of others. You read the magazines, the blogs. You go to the museum. You own your own brushes and paints, canvas. You practice and you practice again and again. You paint even when you don't feel like it. You finish unfinished projects. You share your work with others. You talk about it. You're interested in it. You may teach a child what you've learned. You invest time and money and energy and effort. Well, you get the point, don't you? In much the same way, Christian zeal for the Lord must even more work itself out in real life in tangible, practical ways. It ought to be reflected in how you spend your time and your energy and your money and so forth. It works itself out in practical ways. But what are those ways? How should we practice zeal? I just want to mention a few tonight. This is not an exhaustive list, but here's some ways to practice zeal. First of all, we all must have zeal for the Lord. First of all, have zeal for the Lord. Remember, as we've already mentioned tonight, He has had zeal for you. He has saved you. He gives you salvation and life. He gives you everything you have. And you need to be zealous to know Him and love Him and thank Him and serve Him. And zeal for God means that you have zeal for what He has to say, zeal for His Word. You actually read it. You're interested in it. You study it. You put yourself under it. You hear it. You are there and listening when it is being proclaimed and taught. You want to learn and know, receive it and believe it and live it out. Read Psalm 119. We read a portion, we sang a portion of it. But read Psalm 119 to see what zeal for God and His Word looks like. Verse 97 and following, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation on occasion." I made that up. "It is my meditation all the day. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Have zeal for God and His Word. Zeal for God is also practiced and expressed in prayer. We read in verse 12, "Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer." Zeal is also practiced in worshiping God. Worship ought to be your highest priority and joy, something you plan for and prepare for, look forward to, speaking to God, meeting with Him, hearing from Him. And this zeal for God doesn't just happen, just like the backpacking trip we talked about. That doesn't just happen. That takes preparation. If you don't put in that effort, if you don't plan, if you don't prioritize and set aside time, it won't happen, or it won't happen well. Don't let that happen with your zeal for the Lord, with your relationship to Him. We must have zeal for the Lord and for His worship. We also need to practice zeal for the truth. We need to have zeal for the truth of the Lord, zeal for the true gospel, zeal to know and obey what God has revealed. We need to be students with a never-ending curiosity to know and to learn. We need to love the Lord with our minds. We also have to have zeal against sin. First and foremost, our own sin. It's often easy to look out there and have a zealous and at times righteous anger against sin, but we need to first and foremost have a zeal against our own sin. We need to not become lazy or nonchalant about sin in our life, but fight it. Kill it. Put it to death. Be zealous to be like Christ, to be sanctified. Sadly, many people, I think, are more zealous to remodel their basement or clean and polish their cars than to remodel their lives by God's Word or to live pure lives before the Lord. And that should not be. Zeal should also be practiced in our relationship with others, in service to others. We heard about that this afternoon from the deacons. Service in the church. Titus 2 says we are saved to be zealous for good works. And so Christian zeal will find ways to serve, to seek first the kingdom, to serve the church. That's what Romans 12 is all about, that members of the body of Christ fulfilling their unique roles, whether that's service or leadership, teaching, giving, loving, honoring others, rejoicing with others, praying with them, praying for them, meeting needs, showing hospitality. We need to have zeal for the lost, zeal to be witnesses of Christ, zeal to build His church, zeal for missions and church planting, even when it's difficult, hard work. Zeal is, as we saw this morning, it is an inner fervor, but it has an outward focus. Zeal takes outward action. It seeks God and His glory and serves His church. It tangibly loves and serves others. Zeal should also be practiced, and we're almost done with this long list, but zeal should also be practiced in everyday life and in your daily work and callings as well. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might." Whatever God has called you to, whether you're a butcher, a baker, or a candlestick maker, as they say, do it with all your might. Live with zeal. You have something and you have someone to live for. You have reason to serve and to work with enthusiasm, with joy, to the glory of God, regardless of what you do in everyday life, whether that's crunching numbers or cleaning stalls, going to class, parenting, being a child. Do it all with zeal to the Lord. And sadly, I think the world can often put us to shame in this area. They often will work with such a zeal for mere earthly outward rewards, working with zeal to please their earthly boss, working for the weekends, working for the next raise. But friends, we have eternal riches, eternal rewards to look forward to. We work for the God of the ages. And so friends, practice zeal. Put it to work in all of life. Pursue the Lord with zeal, with exertion, like you mean it, like He's real and He has saved you. Study the Lord. Invest in Him. Get rid of sin. Be like Christ with zeal. Love and serve others with zeal. Serve the church. Seek the kingdom with zeal. Pray and work and live with zeal. This is what God calls you to. This is what God invites you to. This is a privilege. Practice zeal daily. Well, to do all that, and I realize it's overwhelming, but to do all that, you need to know it's hard and that there's a cost and that this is not easy. And so let's consider fourth tonight, the price of zeal. The price of zeal. Look again at verse 11. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. The fact is, it's easy to be slothful in zeal and to serve yourself. And it's hard to serve the Lord with zeal and with fervor. Zeal is costly. There's a price to it. It takes time. You heard a little bit about that this afternoon as well. It takes time and effort. Sometimes it'll cost you sleep, comfort, your reputation, relationships. Maybe it'll cost you a job or freedom. Sometimes it'll cost you your very life. It costs Jesus His life. It costs our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world their lives. It cost Eric Little a gold medal, to use one example. Zeal is sacrifice. And that's where Romans 12 starts, actually. Romans 12, verse 1 starts calling you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. And friends, this is the Christian life. Jesus said in Matthew 16, verses 24 and following, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul?" Friends, following Christ with zeal has a price. It involves denying yourself, dying to yourself, taking up your cross, following Christ, putting sin to death, not living to gain this world, not living to save or live your life by or for yourself. And if you are a Christian tonight and you find that your life is rather easy, your life is really in Christ, it's not costing you anything. You're kind of coasting. You're not pushing yourself. You may want to examine your zeal for Christ. That is not the picture of a Christian that the Bible gives, someone who is just coasting, someone who is not exerting themselves out of love and gratitude for the Lord. Zeal for the Lord will mean living for eternity, looking past this temporary world to the eternal world to come. And that means seeing with the eyes of faith. That means finding your identity and belonging to the Lord, being His servant. And the world is not going to understand this. When you live zealously, you will have friends and possibly family. You will have coworkers that will see your zeal as foolish, as a total waste of time and effort. It may cost you their respect and their friendship. But friends, you know what life is all about. You know the grace of God, the zeal of God, the gospel. It compels you. The love of Christ constrains you. It fuels your life and drives your zeal. You can't help but live full out for the Lord, no matter the cost. Zeal takes exertion. It takes self-denial, suffering, discipline. It's true. There's no pain, no gain. It's a little bit like climbing a mountain, isn't it? It's the same way in sports, and good coaches can spot a lack of zeal, a lack of willingness to pay the price on a team. And they know that that means not playing to the full potential. And so they'll do whatever it takes to work zeal in their athletes. But that's all for an earthly, temporary reward. We are in a far greater endeavor, brothers and sisters. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:24 and following, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it." Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Friends, run that you may obtain the imperishable, eternal prize. Have self-control, self-denial, self-sacrifice. It is worth it. Romans 8:18 says, "The sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." Some of you may know of Jim Elliot. He understood the price of zeal. He was a missionary to the Guarani people, a violent, unreached tribe in Ecuador. And he and four other missionaries were speared to death, killed, while they were trying to make initial contact with this tribe. They gave their lives out of zeal for the lost, zeal for the gospel. And Jim Elliot is often remembered for something he wrote in a journal entry years before. He wrote this: "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." Friends, zeal is costly. It means giving up your life for the Lord, paying a price. But it is a price. It's giving up something you can't keep that's not really yours for a far greater reward that you can never lose. Zeal will cost you. There is a price to it, but it's worth it. It's worth far more than anything else. And there is a great price, but there is a great reward, and there is also a great purpose. Zeal has an awesome focus and goal. A point to all of it. It is for the Lord and His glory. And that's what I want us to consider fifth and finally tonight. The point of zeal, or the purpose. What is the purpose or the point of all this zeal? Listen once more to verse 11, and you'll see this. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Paul ends this sentence in the Greek saying literally, the Lord serving. The Lord, the divine sovereign King of all. Him serving. And that's another present active participle, meaning an active, ongoing service of the King of Kings. Something that's continued and practiced all the time. And friends, that is the point of your zeal. It is all about serving Him. And the word for serve or serving here is used for a slave or a servant. And that's because you belong to the Lord. He is your King, your Master. You are His property, His possession, bought with His blood. He purchased you and your life from sin and death and from hell. You were once a slave of sin and death and Satan, a servant of yourself, a servant of Satan, and now you've been redeemed, you've been bought. And so now you live and work for the King and for His kingdom. You live and work in the King's palace. You live for the King and the Lord. You are to serve Him and you are to render that work, that service with such zeal, with a fervor, a passion, a loyalty for the King. And you're to do it with haste. The word zeal has to do with speed, with effort, with exertion, having pep in your step, which means when the King gives an order, when the King makes a request, you respond with haste, with urgency, with zeal. You give it your best. You take orders from heaven's throne. You don't hesitate. You fulfill them with haste, no questions asked, because you are His servant and you delight to do so. Friends, the point of your zeal is the glory of God. It is Him you are ultimately serving. It is for Him that you burn with zeal, that you practice your fervor, that you pay the price. People of God, here is more fuel for your zeal. And if you don't get anything else tonight, get this. You as a Christian, you as a son of God, you are serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are working for the God of the universe, and that ought to be motive enough. You are serving the one and only God, the Savior, the Lord of all the earth. Wow. What a privilege. What a responsibility. What reason to never be slothful in zeal. The point of all you do, the point of all I do, all the zeal, all the labor, the sweat, the tears, is service to the Lord, service to the King, extending His kingdom, seeking His honor, doing whatever it is He has called you to with excellence, with effort, with love and loyalty to Him and His throne, with all your might and with all your heart. Brothers and sisters, have zeal because you belong to Jesus. You are His freed slave, a servant of the crown, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this calls for all out zeal while you have breath. It calls for diligence, exertion, not half-hearted, lukewarm slothfulness. Colossians 3:23 puts it this way, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord, not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. That's the point of zeal. Serving the Lord Christ, King Jesus. Friends, serve Him. Have zeal for Him. Serve Him now. Don't wait. Serve Him with every breath. Serve Him zealously, even if you're young. Serve Him in everything you do, with your gifts, with your energy, with your life, your mind, your heart, your money, your time. do it all with zeal for Him. You are on your way to His royal throne in heaven. Serve Him all the way there with zeal until you meet Him face to face one day soon. And He looks at you and says to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Live with zeal, looking forward to hearing those words. And as we close tonight, I want you to hear the words of Romans 12:11 just once more. And you all should have it memorized by now. I've said it enough. But hear these words once more. And don't hear them from me, but hear them from the Lord. Hear them from Christ, your Lord and King. Your Savior who zealously died to save you, who rose and who now lives for you. And as you hear it, say in your hearts, "Yes, Lord. Amen. May it be. Let me, help me, glorify your name." And so, brothers and sisters, your Savior and your King says to you with tenderness and grace, with commanding authority and truth and in sincerity, He says this: "Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve me. Serve your King. Serve the Lord." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we have spent some time on this today, and yet we know we've only scratched the surface, and we know we fall so far short, and yet the Lord Jesus Christ was perfectly zealous for us, zealous for your glory. And He has purchased us with the price of His own blood. He's transferred us from the kingdom of darkness into His kingdom of life, that we might live with zeal and with love and with devotion and with eternal thankfulness in our hearts to His glory. We have an awesome privilege to serve the living, reigning King. And so, Lord, enable us to do it with zeal. Inflame our zeal for you and let it be contagious. Let it spread to your glory and your honor. Lord, we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of the Lord of hosts who saved us by His zeal. Amen.